Well, good morning to you. This is Bruce, a.k.a. the Weather Soul here on the Daily Weather View. Brought to you by the guys at the Weather Report, our flagship podcast on Sundays, 7 p.m., YouTube and Rumble. We do this podcast every day. It's X Spaces every day, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., somewhere in there during my commute. We are brought to you by Horrible Designs. Those of you who like that wacky stuff that goes on t-shirts and bumper stickers and all that other stuff, go get your stuff from Horrible Designs. We're also sponsored by Mad K Studios and Music Making Sense Podcast, Apex Music Systems, and I'm your host, Bruce McGee, from theweatheredsoul.com. How's it go, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Shit, Ken's here already, so that means I can't talk for the rest. I can't talk for the rest of the
fucking
episode.
Stop interrupting. Fuck. I'm speaking. Let the adults talk. So, in the world of cars, when you sit there and you forget your wallet and you go to work, but you also forget you're supposed to get gas that day. I'm pulling into the gas station now. This was yesterday. I'm pulling the gas station right now thinking, 15 miles to empty. I think I played it just about right.
Yeah, I've done that.
15 miles? I've done it all the way to one.
See, you're a pro.
I know. That's the difference between me and you.
I'm just a rank amateur in the world of almost running out of gas. I'm pulling up to the pump now, and it rate is 87 is $3.29, half of what it is in California.
Back in the,
I am so afraid of what I'm going to find out tomorrow when I gas up. I just actually put my prepper gas in my tank, so I don't have any prepper gas right now because I hold 3 5-gallon cans aside, and it was time to dump them into the gas tank. So hopefully the world doesn't go sideways today, and wait till tomorrow so I can go ahead and fill up my gas can. But I'm afraid to look at the price. It's getting scary out here in California for gas prices.
Yeah. So back in the late 90s, when I had my Honda Civic, I actually ran so low that I had to keep it in second gear from it dying to get to the gas station.
I didn't know that was a trick.
Yeah. I could only go so fast before it would, if I gave it too much gas, then it started puttering like I was going to die. And I just rolled into the gas station as the car died from not having any gas.
That's a cheat code, man.
I had one of my running out of gas stories was, because it happened a few times. I used to drive really old chip boxes. I had a 69 Oldsmobile Delta 88. And of course, if you remember, for us old guys, that gas tank and those was where it's supposed to be, behind the license plate, right in the middle of the back bumper. So this is about 5 years ago. I ran out of gas on the highway, and one of the guys from my work had to come and get me. But of course, he had one of the new government gas cans. Well, if you've ever tried to put gas in an old car with a government gas can with all that apparatus that you have to, you can't. It doesn't fit. So we had to like hold it sideways, and I had to like rig the. That was awful. I mean, the government.
Is there something that Jesus Christ, dude? I dealt with this last night because I have government fucking gas cans, dude. Oh man, don't get me started. It's one of the things I wanted to talk about today, so I'm glad you brought that up. Fantastic. How bad do you have to be as a government to fuck up a gas can?
Well,
they have. Oh my. Go ahead.
If you want government in control of your health care, just remember they fucked up a gas can. So. Yeah, they're going to fuck you up, too.
You know what people do around here to get away with it? So around here, what people do in order to not have to deal with those government gas cans, as you guys call them, is they go to, like, Rural King or Tractor Supply, and they have, like, these red, about 5-ish gallon containers that look like gas cans, But what they are is they're actually regulated as like feeder bottles or something like that for agriculture. Right, right, exactly, and they use those instead.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
Also, racing like BMX racers and stuff, like not BMX, off-road racers. Those guys have the regular gas cans too. You can get, and it's just the old gas cans, but they're not regulated because it's racing fuel only. Same thing,
right? Right, and you couldn't have fucked it up worse where you put the vent in the spout. So when you got the spout inside of your receptacle, you know, your filter tube, all of a sudden you hear this. You know, you hear the glug, 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 and it's paused for a second while it tries to breathe.
Yep.
And then you're sitting there, and it takes you 15 fucking minutes to put 5 gallons in your fucking in your car, because this thing can't breathe enough to do its job. So I actually give it a little help. I got this little kit. You get these little kits out at on Amazon where you can change. They're exact fits. You know, they come in like a pack of 8. So you can put in those extra parts there, and they have these little vent things that you can drill into your gas can. Anyway, goddamn, I got rented lips this morning. And then you just open that, and that helps them breathe a little bit. But I haven't done it to the one gas can that I bought from Tractor Supply, and I'm probably going to go out and get me some cheap ones anyway and get those. But, man, they really fucked up the gas can, dude. I can't stand using them, but unfortunately, you got to have emergency gas just in case, you know, things go sideways here in California. You know, one of the things is that it really never does, but just the time that you say that it never does, it starts doing it. They got an asshole in front of me that wants me to race me to the exit. So here we go. We're racing now. I'm gonna go, and wow, guys, fucking California, they're fucking funny. Anyway, good morning, guys. Again,
how do you really feel, Bruce? That's all I gotta say about that.
How do I really feel?
Yeah.
I hate, the more and more I think, every day that I stay in California, I hate it more. I actually do. We just got done with the scheduling for my mom for the next 6 months. You know, our schedule where we have her and take care of her until she's 93. She's pretty old. She's frail in her health and stuff like that. So every 6 months we get together and you know, everybody kind of schedules out their time that they're going to take with her. But I'm telling you what, the house goes up for sale the day she passes away, and I'm out of here. I am so freaking out of here. I'd be out of here now, but I don't want to leave my mom behind. So that's it. She can't travel, and you know, so stuff like that. So we're kind of stuck here. But she's not a burden on that. You know, I can hang it out for the next couple of years if I have to. And things like that, but yeah, I'm so fucking out of here, dude. I hate California. I was born and raised here. I loved California for a long time. It's beautiful. You can't beat the weather. You can't beat the scenery, stuff like that. But it is just socially and socially, economically, and politically, it's just a trash state. You know?
Have you by chance heard that undercover video that just came out recently about that CIA agent who? Was talking about how, oh yeah, we did all this stuff. We just kind of to get Alex Jones and cut the legs out from underneath him. You know, we didn't actually directly do anything. We just kind of nudged these civil cases to go and happen in order to kind of cut the legs out of them. Did you guys hear that conversation?
No.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. So, you know, this CIA agent who used to be in the FBI, but now he's in the CIA, apparently, and he got caught on one of those undercover video things or whatever, you know, he's like talking about.
Veritas, Project Veritas?
It was kind of like it. It wasn't exactly Veritas, though. It was like somebody who, like, inspired. Well, it was, like, inspired by Veritas. It was, like, you know, because, like, more people are starting to do it now, you know?
Right.
And not just Veritas, because Veritas started getting too much heat because of O'Keefe and shit. But anyway, he was talking about how oh yeah, you know, we didn't, because the person was like, you guys did that? And he's like, no, we didn't directly do it. We just kind of nudged it along, right? And so maybe with your mom, you'd be like, hey, mom, let me just go ahead and nudge a little bit because I'm ready to leave the state. That's a joke. It's a joke, obviously. It's a joke, but still.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Argos. Now my sisters can't listen to this because they're like, who the fuck is this Argos guy? Why does he want to nudge your mom off the cliff?
It's just a nudge. Just a nudge to the doctors, you know?
No, so it's just surprising, you know, that we were talking about this the other night and over a couple of glasses of wine. When I sent you that nice sunset picture that I got from Friday night, but they were talking about another family member that they put in hospice because he was pretty bad off. They didn't expect him to live for more than a week or two. And when you go into hospice, you know, they take away all your medicines, all your stuff, you know, and all you get is like food and water, and you just live your life out until you pass away. Well, this person lived for a whole year in hospice.
Yep.
After getting taken off of all the medications that he was on. And these were all the medications that he needed for his blood pressure, his this, his that, and everything else. He lived. And yep.
My grandpa, when they told my grandpa that he found out he had prostate cancer that had went wild and spread to his bones, and he had, you know, lung issues from smoking as well as being like a boiler maker for like 20 years, and he had cirrhosis of the liver from being an alcoholic and shit like that, right? Well, and he had like a tumor on his spine, and it fucked up his like, he couldn't feel anything from like the nipples down and shit, like all kinds of stuff, right? Whenever he finally went to the hospital for all that stuff, and they checked him out fully, and they're like, hey, like they gave him 6 months to 2.5 years, and this motherfucker pushed on for 6 goddamn years with chemo and radiation, like the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Like the whole time, oh too. Like this motherfucker did not stop. And then
it is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It just depends.
And my mom's a strong woman too. I mean, she's had rheumatoid arthritis. She's had rheumatoid arthritis since about as long as I can remember. So I mean, she worked through it all the way until she was like, until it forced her to retire. But we all have arthritis in our family, so we witnessed my mom go through this. I don't think all of us have rheumatoid arthritis, but it's one of those arthritises that are really debilitating. And if you stop doing what you're doing, the bones calcify very, very quickly, and you could be incapacitated and start having, you know, some box syndromes and other things happen with rheumatoid arthritis. And it's just one of those situations where you have to work through it. You just have to work through the pain. You just have to work through the uncomfortable and stuff like that. Unfortunately, my mom did not. And she's just, you know, she's withered away to what she is now, but she's still cognitive. She's still happy. Well, I don't know if she's happy about being in the condition she's in, but she's pleasant to be around. You know, she wants to help out. She wants to do everything that she can do, but you can tell that she's just frail. She's, you know, probably 89 pounds at best. She's got no strength. I think the most that she can pick up is like a half a cup of coffee. And so this went down from a full cup of coffee that she could do a year ago. So, you know, it's a terrible disease, just like every other disease. It's debilitating, but she's on so many medications that we really think that if she would not take some of those medications, that she'd probably be doing a lot better. But
yeah, possibly. I mean, she's 93 years old, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Every minute is a gift type of situation.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Every minute is a gift.
Type of shit, yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, I mean, you never know with some of those medications and shit like that, the way that they do things. But you know, once you get that old, you're just kind of like, hey, you know what? What could it hurt?
Yeah, exactly. At 64, I'm trying to say, hey, I'm just going to hurt, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I've got my trials and tribulations. You know, everybody does. You know, everybody's going to get old. Everybody's going to have this or that happen to them, and it's just a shame. But like I said, you know, when she the day after she passes away, the house goes up for sale, And yeah, we're out of here, man. It's just, I cannot wait to move, you know, into the Midwest or back east or something like that, because this is just this state's just crazy. It really is. I mean, it's really bad. Which brings me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
I was just gonna say, having moved out of my home state that I absolutely loved, being from Massachusetts, I absolutely loved it out there. And after I got out of college, I had every intention of going back. And I just, the state went away from me, just like California's gone away from you. You know, you're born and raised somewhere. That's home. I still feel like a refugee, you know. And
I'm going to be a newcomer.
It's beautiful out here. Yeah, it's beautiful out here. We're newcomers. Yeah, we're newcomers.
I'm going to be a newcomer.
But the feeling of leave, I'll never forget the feeling when I drove away from the house I grew up in for the last time, just knowing, you know, I can go visit or whatever, but I'll never be back there to live, because I love the people, but I can't take the politics and bullshit of the state where they don't allow you to do anything.
Right.
So I feel for you. My mom's 92, and I understand what you're going through there. I lost my dad a year and a half ago, and I feel for you, brother.
Yeah. Well, my accountant is sitting there trying everything possible. He's going like, well, why don't you just keep your house and go out and buy another one, and you can rent your house out to here, or you can leave your daughter here, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going like, number one, I said, I just really don't want to be a landlord, number one.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the house that I've worked so hard on being destroyed by some fucking renter that comes in and just doesn't give a shit, you know, and doesn't want to go by the rule. I don't want a management. I don't want to pay anybody to manage it, you know, so I'm just going to kind of sell out and go. And like Harco said before, I could sell my house for $1 million.
Cash.
Yeah. I could find myself, you know, I could sell out here for $1 million and go, you know, get a fucking McMansion in Tennessee, Indiana, or fucking Wisconsin, or wherever I end up. You know,
you could buy three. That's the thing. You could buy three. Three houses bigger than your current house. Okay. So what incentive does your accountant have for you not to sell your house? Like, why is this motherfucker like, oh, well, don't sell your house. Like, does he own like fucking something in California where it's like, no, we can't leave. Make sure nobody leaves. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to make it to where if you leave now, and most of the corporations and stuff that are leaving now have to pay an exit tax out of California to leave. And they're trying to move that into the residential area that if you sell your house and you go buy a house somewhere else, like California's got any fucking throw in any other state, that you have to report that to California, and then you have to pay tax on the difference in between they actually want to do a capital gains tax on you for leaving California. That's what they want to do.
Right.
California is so great. It is taxing you to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
fuck California. Yeah.
But that brings up a great
and fuck news.
I wanted to ask you guys exactly. I want to ask you guys about equity and equality and this DEI crap that's going around the United States and the world, actually, but pretty much here in the country, that we have to suffer through this. Now, I know that DEI is kind of getting slapped in the face. Everybody's kind of waking up to the fact that it doesn't work. But it's really crazy, especially here in California, where they're trying to actually get people to pay. I mean, the restaurants here are now charging a convenience fee on top of a equity fee for their servers. So, like, you know, we still tip here. I'm sure you guys still tip in the areas you are, but now the restaurants are getting you to, they're surcharging you for it. Like any other company is surcharging. You pay your internet tax. You know, there's all kinds of internet surcharges. There's all kinds of electrical surcharges. Hell, I paid a $25 surcharge on my flood insurance for the dumbasses in the fucking Midwest that keep building their houses right next to the river that floods every year. And so I've got to pay an extra $25, and they tell you right on the bill, that, hey, this $25 is for those that are uninsured. It's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
It's fucking crazy, dude. So I don't know how you guys feel about diversity, equity, and equality, because there's definitely a difference between all three of those subjects, and I just wanted to get your guys' input on it. Go.
You know, what I do, when it comes to tipping, I mean, I'm very – I try to keep things, you know, high in equality. I keep equality top of my mind whenever I'm thinking about tipping. And, you know, out here in Indiana, you know, a lot of the land out here is farmland, right? But when we're in the city and stuff like that, you got a totally different atmosphere. So, you know, in the spirit of equality, anytime I'm at a restaurant and I see a really fat person that looks like a cow, I just push them over, because that's what we do with the country too. We just tip the cows. And so I push them over and then I run.
You don't have to.
And then I say, oh, though, you just got tipped.
Yeah. Well, as I'll just speak on this. I'm almost at work. I'm gonna have to run in a minute. But as part of the you know, in the DEI world, I'm an oppressed class, of course, being an Irish American, and I just feel like, you know, in the sea of Swedish people up in the Wisconsin area, it's very hard for an Irish guy to get a job up here because it's filled with all the white Swedes, and so the DEI thing that we've used here, it's really
can we get a collective awe for freaking Ken,
right? You know, someone and you know what, the racism is rampant. Someone called me a Mick the other day, and I was deeply offended.
How can you tell a Swede from an Irishman?
The accent.
No, there's no accents up there.
He's like Jason. Jason's got the accent. So.
Yeah,
I don't have a fucking accent
or whatnot. But you know,
fuck off.
The way Jason says it right there, fuck off. Oh, what the Christ!
I don't say what the Christ.
You don't. But they.
You
do.
Say a boot.
A boot.
I do not say a boot. That's for the people in camp.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about accent, I mean, Carcos has got the freaking far out accent, but when he says awesome, he says it like he's from Boston. Yeah. When you say it like you're from Boston, awesome. I'm like, dude, that's fucking cool. That's a cool. Hey, the Boston accent is a fucking cool accent, dude.
Exactly.
Sure. It's because I still have a leftover military accent, and what the military accent is where you're around people from literally everywhere. And all of them talking together, you start merging and melding into a universal accent. And so now sometimes I sound like I'm from New York or the East Coast. Sometimes right. I got a country twang in my shit. It just is very random. And it depends on how carried away I get when I'm talking too.
You gotta get going to the Waffle House for get rid of that twang in your shit, dude. So you're not supposed to have twang in your shit.
Well, Marcos has this. I'm gonna fangirl your voice for a minute. So you've got this great deep voice, and you've got this really interesting accent. You do. I've always been trying to nail it. I'm like, it's got a touch of down south. It's got a little bit of Midwest mixed in there. Just a sprinkle of Wegro, and it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's great. I as much as I try to talk over you, I do enjoy listening to what you have to say. Just from the dulcet tone,
you know what?
Coming out of
I thought for sure when you said down south, I thought you were going to say Down syndrome.
are we done jacking each other off or what?
I would have said
down
retard.
And south.
Yeah, that would have been.
You had a pause between down and south though, and I was like, you said down. I was like, God, yes.
He's just going. All right.
Jesus Christ.
I got to run.
You got to mix between Down syndrome and New York City, you know?
Yeah, a little bit of flavor there. So anyway, we'll talk to you guys later. I'm at work.
Have a good day, Ken. So I'm glad that I'm from California. The California is the land of no accent. So we're
I thought that was Nebraska or something.
Something like that. I'm not sure, man. But I'm really interested of you know, going out to the Midwest. I'm favoring Tennessee right now, so I've been kind of listening to people from Tennessee so I can have that little twang in my voice, you know. So I don't have the twang in my shit, but I have the twang in my voice that I can kind of communicate with them and get the lingo down before I get to Knoxville. So the Knoxville area is actually what I'm looking at. So hill country. Yeah, I got to get up there and with the hillbillies and probably have to lose a couple teeth or something like that and pick up banjo, but we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. But that's what I'm looking forward to. I
could probably teach you the banjo.
Yeah, I just can't do the Indiana. I mean, you know, no offense, Harcos, but you know what I've looked at in Indiana, it's beautiful, dude. Believe me, where you hike at is fucking absolutely gorgeous, but just nothing, no hills, no nothing. It's just
yeah, there is. I got to show you. I'll send you a video one day of the hills. They're pretty big. I mean,
huh? Well, what? What are we talking about? Do you get snow on those hills?
Yeah, in the wintertime, we get snow everywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, can you ski on those hills? Do you have a ski resort on those hills?
Oh, no, you can't ski over here. What the fuck? No, there's no skiing.
See, that's what I'm going to miss. You can't ski in Tennessee anymore. I looked at it and go like, well, you can't ski in Tennessee. So not that I ski anymore anyway, but used to ski here. But because we have great big tall mountains, you know, like 13 to 15.
Now, the only way you can ski here in Indiana is if you are sitting in between two guys with their dicks out. That's about the only time you can ski here. I know whenever I was in middle school and high school, my youth group, we used to always go up to Wisconsin. And I can't remember the name of the town, but there's an area up there where they had like decent sized hills that you could go like tubing and skiing on. And so, yeah, in Wisconsin, you can do that. You should be able to do that in fucking, not Nashville. Nashville's too far south, man. They're too warm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're talking about the South. You're talking about the South. Yeah. They don't have that down there.
Yeah, a little nervous about being in the South, though. I mean, you know, California boy going down into the South stuff. But I know that there's a lot of transplants there, so I'm not really too worried about it. But yeah, a little bit worried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's transplants everywhere. You know, like
yeah, but that's what ruined California. That's what ruined California is that you know we just let everybody in here. You know and. Yeah, we didn't put up a wall or nothing. So, yeah, you would think by the news it's all Mexicans here, but no, it's all people that transplanted here from all over the world, and they brought their little politics with them, and now we're this liberal progressive enclave that just keeps making bad choices, man. Just really, they really just make bad choices. Yeah, you got $20 an hour. Fast food workers, and it's terrible. You got a $28 freaking Big Mac, you know, $25 Chicken McNuggets meal. It's crazy out here, dude. I don't know. I don't think it's sustainable, and the future doesn't.
Well, I shared it in our private text group, but there's a Facebook link or a Facebook video I just saw a second ago. Of like this robot that actually like can make all different kinds of foods with accuracy and stuff like that. Like he can use like a wok.
That is Miso Industries out of Southern California. In fact, the guys in Lions Liberty are all bought into that. So
yeah, that stuff is going to be the end result. And I think it needs to happen, honestly.
Oh, honestly, like, I think so too. I think
it has to happen. Like, we can't keep going on with the situation that we're in. Like the reason that these people have to keep having these fight for 15 people, fight for 20 for them, which defeats the purpose of their name anymore. But the reason that they have to do that is because those people are so coddled that they can't get any, they can't figure out anything else. And then they're so useless that they can't figure out anything else either. And it's like, in order for human ingenuity to happen, there has to be struggle and strife. And, you know, there's going to be a breaking point when all this shit happens, where there's going to be a lot of violence and crime and stuff like that, more than what we got right now. But we have to go to a point, I'm not even making a joke here either, it sounds like I'm setting one up, but We have to go. We have to get to a point where all these mundane, stupid jobs are done by robotics. That way, we can actually move to the next level of humanity. Like,
do you think,
do you think
there's lack of opportunity? Do you think there's lack of opportunity?
Yeah, but it's like a design feature.
Oh, okay.
Because, like it's a design feature. Because, see, the thing is that. If it's done right, which it won't be if the government handles it, right? But ideally, having robotics would be able to take us to the next level of human society, to where all these mundane jobs are taken care of, and dangerous jobs, stuff like that, are taken care of by robotics or some kind of, you know, non-human entity. And then it leaves humans available to do all the other, like, the hyper creative stuff and just like just live life and actually have good lives, you know. And the thing is, though, too, is that all this industry that relies on the debtor society and the renter society and all that shit is going to have to die too. Like, those people are going to have to eat their own dick, because, like, you know, if a robot can go and build a house and stuff like that, like, we don't need to buy a house. You don't need a house payment. You don't need to pay for electricity if robots are generating electricity, stuff like that. And so, like, all that stuff is going to take away a lot of that kind of strife, and so that people are just going to be able just to live their lives happy. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to fall victim to a lot of bullshit.
Are your kids ready to be domiciled into a 10 by 20 freaking domicile that they can live in, made by a robot, so that they can pursue any kind of career that they want to outside of fast food or you know, minimum wage job?
Right, and see, that's when the government gets involved and they fuck it up. That's what I was saying. Like, it has to be a situation where it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, there's got to be a breaking point with the technology.
Oh, yeah,
the technology
absolutely.
Is going to take care of so much that there's going to have to be something. And I mean, living in a coffin apartment and being huddled into a city and controlled and everything like that, what you just said, that's not ideal for anybody. I mean, right. Very, very few people is it ideal for. You know
you
what
think,
I'm saying?
You think and that's we're going to control you it. Think we're- Do you think that we're going to be able to keep our lifestyles, Harkos, in the rural areas of the United States? And are we going to be able to? I mean, I know me and you are going to be able to do that. We'll be able to, you know, grow our own food and stuff like that. We're probably going to get pressured as we get older. But I mean, is rural America going to change because of the way that that urban America is going to be just kind of subsidized and robot you know, automated and things like that? You think that we're going to have a big change in rural?
Ideally, it would not, but more than likely it will. The way that things keep going in the direction when it changes, it looks like it's going to. But I mean, ideally, like, it would not, you know, that's the thing, because, you know, you could have all these, you know, all these empty factories of shit that we don't make anymore. Those could be greenhouses, multi-story greenhouses, you know, all with aquaponics and everything like that. They grow all kinds of food and stuff. And so all this farmland out here and stuff could be turned to like wild pasture for the animals. And then the animals could actually eat healthy again. And then that would be healthy for our food supply chain and stuff. And then we wouldn't have to worry about cutting costs because, oh, we, you know, labor is so expensive. We got to cut costs. We got to pack all these animals into a warehouse in fucked up conditions and all that shit. Like, we wouldn't have to worry about that because the robots would be out there tending to the field, or if any humans wanted to volunteer, obviously, if
right,
they wanted
right,
to do it, you know.
Right, right. I saw an interesting article about the way that they're now dusting the fields with not just those tractors that go around and spray stuff on the plants and stuff like that, but they're actually using drones now, you know, those little drones, and they'll send those out five at a time through the fields to go ahead and do all that, whatever fertilizer, whatever they're blowing into the soil there. But it is like almost 80% less for the farmer to use those than it is the conventional way now, where they're sending tractors and aircraft to do that same thing. They can do it much more efficiently. They can do it quicker, and they can do it cheaper. So
You can do it a lot more efficiently because they can get lower to the ground. Whereas, exactly. You know, like a plane or a helicopter, which is what they use out here, they use both. They can only get so low to the ground, you know, but a drone, it can have the precision. It uses like, you know, lasers and shit like that to tell its altimeter, like its ground height and everything like that, you know, and all that stuff. That could definitely be used in a positive way. Like I see a lot of positive that can come out of a lot of this shit if it's done right. And I think it will be done right. Because the labor cost is what has driven so much shit, you know, like this mass agriculture and shit, this factory farming and everything like that. It's because labor costs went up so much. Yes, obviously, you know, one positive reason labor costs went up is because we got rid of slavery. That's positive that the cost of labor went up, right? But like, you know, we got to get the cost back down in order for things to get healthier again, you know, because we got to have these big multi-million dollar machines to do the large scale cropping. And so if we can get those automated, which those are getting close, like I've talked to some farmers around here, and those things run on GPS. The only reason the farmer's in the motherfucking cab is to turn it because it can't quite turn around yet. But they turn it and then they let the steering wheel go, and then they sit there and they play on Facebook or whatever while it's going down the row, and it goes straight and everything like that, and then they turn it again at the end of the row. Once they figure out the turning, which I don't know how the fuck they haven't figured out turning. That's what I asked this farmer too. I was like, how the fuck have they not figured out that? He's like, oh, I don't know, boy. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I don't know, boy, but only a farmer can do that shit, man. So you get the fuck out of here before I have to spank your ass out of here. So
exactly. Yeah, stuff like that, right? But you know, like, once we figure that out and stuff, the farmers won't have to be out there. They get the automated trucks and stuff like that to go and everything. The farmers won't have to be out there. And so, like, you know, that is just going to – we got to just take the cost of our food supply is so high for the labor that they take all these shortcuts that are detrimental to our health when we eat it to the environment. Exactly. As well, too, because all the runoff from all this shit, all these insecticides and herbicides and shit like that, it's like, you know, we can take more time to figure out better ways to do shit like
it's
that.
It's so
you know?
Interesting. And I was listening to Jack Spirko the other day, and they got this one machine that's actually it's a seeding machine. And what they're doing is that they're using, well, you know, some of the nefarious ones are using this, you know, super gross stuff, you know, they'll put their seed in it, but it actually goes down the row and it actually puts in the seed, it puts in the fertilizer, it puts in everything all in one shot, you know, and they're using this in organic gardening and regenerative, farming. And they're actually using this concoction, like I said, that they will put the seed in, and the seed, everything gets all planted in at once. And what it does is it cuts down the use of pesticides down the way, probably because they got pesticides in this super stuff already. But I mean, and then they'll probably go ahead. And then they'll go ahead and they'll use the drones and stuff to go ahead and spray down low to the ground, so they don't have to spray this stuff, you know, 20 feet above anymore. They can get right down to ground level, you know, to spray this other stuff on there. So it's just interesting technology, and I think the time has come. Let's just hope that it's used the right way instead of the wrong way. You know, just make it.
Yeah, that's what we got to. That's what we got to do is we got to push for it to be used the right way. And as much as we can push, we need to do it, because if not, it's going to get used the wrong way, and all the dystopian shit is going to happen. I mean, we're going to have a lot of change, and so you know, we're not going to be able to live like, you know, like you did when you grew up in the early 1800s. But like, we're gonna have to have change in our society. It's just, we got to hope that it's more positive than negative.
Yeah, I think the technological boom is going to be a lot faster than the manufacturing boom back in the 1900s, where we had a very quick turnaround from farming to the agorist type lifestyle to that to this urban lifestyle that we're used to now with manufacturing and stuff. I think the technology is actually going to be two, maybe even three times faster in that turnaround to economies and you know, just the whole economic fabric of the world. You're seeing it now. You're seeing it with Bitcoin. You're seeing it with CBDCs, banking. Even Peter Schiff is shifting all over himself because of all this stuff that's happening, and he doesn't know which way to go. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting last 30-40 years for me, you know, because I still plan on being here at least another 20-25 years. So I'm going to get to witness this stuff, and Harcush, you're going to be able to witness it longer because you'll probably live to 130 because of all the GMOs and stuff that you'll be eating that you won't know that you're eating. So you'll be preserved for a long time. You've got another 100 years, man.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope so, because, you know, according to ancient Sumerian text, when the Anunnaki created us after the flood and everything like that, they edited our genes to only live for 120 years. So once we can figure out how to take that take that cap off of our telomeres, then we should be good to go, and I should be able to live for 800 or 900 years. That'd be dope. That'd be really dope.
Are you looking forward to that? Really? I mean,
I mean, it depends on the quality of my life, but yeah, I don't want to fucking die. Fuck that shit, bro. Like, there's no guarantees of what happens next. So I don't want to just evaporate the darkness, and I don't want to fucking see what happens next. I just want to keep living and keep grinding on this fucking shit, man. As rough and as fucked up as it is sometimes, like, I'd much rather be alive than not, dude.
Well, I've got a different outlook. I mean, I'm in.
Well, you're 117 years old, so I get it. You know?
I couldn't imagine being in my mom's body. I mean, to be racked with that kind of pain and stuff like that every day. You know, a lot of people that are dying of disease and stuff like that. I couldn't imagine, because I've been so blessed with my health. You know, I've had a couple of things, you know, cause I had an aneurysm like 15 years ago. So I'm lucky to be here, but, you know, technology took care of that. And then I had my emergency appendicitis 2 years ago, and, you know, that's kind of a routine thing, but that's basically as much as the major issues in health that have impacted me. What could go on later? I don't know. You know, could get Alzheimer's, could get all that other stuff that they talk about all the time. But basically, I'm a pretty healthy guy and still pretty strong and stuff like that. You know, got a little bit of arthritis and stuff like that. But I could not imagine being stuck in a body that you cannot get rid of. And in that case, I would just go like, man, I just can't wait for that day, you know. But if I was healthy and virile and ready to go, and yeah, sure, I'd love to be able to work into my 90s and, you know, work the whole time that I was alive, you know, and be some kind of, you know, useful to society and be able to be prosperous for myself. I mean, you know, once you can't do that, it's pretty much you're pretty much thrown in the towel. Now you're just entertainment, you know. So.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, they'll end up getting the technology where you can upload your whole consciousness into a robot body, and then you won't have to worry about the ailments. That is an interesting one. I don't know how exactly they're going to do that, but apparently they're trying to work on that.
So what, to make yourself an exoskeleton or something like that to be able to?
Yeah, basically you just transfer your essence of yourself into another body. You know, your soul or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
like
just,
in RoboCop 2.
Well, I probably know a couple of girls that would enjoy that, right, man. If I was to put my essence into another robot, that'd be pretty cool. I'm thinking about that now.
Well, there's that. Yeah, you can do that as well. But I'm just saying, like, just like imagine like the body you're in right now, and then you just move, like you move into a new house, you know, like when you sell your house and you move into another house, you just sell this body off for fucking whatever. And then you go put your whatever into another body, dude.
Right.
It's very interesting.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to cut this short, but I want to make a comment here, is that usually by this time, I'm almost at work. I am less than 20 miles away from my house. I got another 15, 20 miles to go. And traffic is so bad today that I'm not 15 miles away yet. We've been on for 45 minutes. Crazy, right?
Holy shit,
dude. I mean,
it's crazy that you have an hour drive to work and you're like, no, this job's great. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me, man? Why would you want to fucking drive an hour to work, dude? Fuck that.
Because I have to be out here where it's fucking peaceful and at least I have a little bit of quiet from me, dude. I used to live right by the train station. When I lived in San Jose before, when I sold my condo in San Jose and moved out to freaking Gilroy, I lived in a place where I never thought that there would be any type of housing and stuff like that. But since then, they've built a light rail, which what I live right next to, a freeway, which that's where the light rail goes right through, and a hill that I used to. Run around on when I was a kid. It was free open land, but I had bought a condo up there, and I got sick of that lifestyle, man. When the city starts closing in on you, and the people start closing in on you, and the whole environment of everything starts closing in on you, you're just being stifled. I could felt myself being strangled by the technology and the actual society that I was living in. So when I got out here to Gilroy, sure, I can still hear a train, but that's a freight train. That's a freight train that has a fucking nice romantic whistle that goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't even hear it anymore. But the fact of the matter is, it's a lot different than a train going by every 15 fucking minutes and hearing the highway. And all, now I hear birds and owls and coyotes and shit like that, and that's downright peaceful. That's what you're supposed to hear, man. You're supposed to hear the sounds of the earth, not the sounds of the fucking city, dude. And I hated it. I really did. I hated it.
No, I agree, but like, I'm not saying move to where you work. I'm talking about work to where you moved.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's where you live.
Yeah. Well, in the type of business that I am, jobs don't. Yeah, they don't. They're not in rural America. They're in the city. I have to go to the city.
Well, that sounds pretty racist to me. So
yeah. Well, that's what it is. Well, I am a racist. So you have that going for you. You can always call me a racist because that's what I am. Yeah.
Fucking white supremacist.
Yeah. Oh, white supremacist. I am so lucky that I have what I have because I'm white and I was privileged. Yep. And
privileged.
Yeah, very privileged. If I wasn't white, I wouldn't have the job that I have. In fact, I'm the only white person really at my job. That's how privileged I am. I'm so privileged I'm the only white person at my job.
Hell of a privilege, man. Like, if you could be privileged enough to just only have white people, that would be even more, privilege at your job.
Yeah. Dude, this fucking traffic is crazy. I thought it'd be freaking done by now, but it's going out into the valley now. So, goddamn, man, I might have a 2-hour drive to work. We might have a 2-hour show today, but.
Hey, that's all good.
No, man. Yeah, like I said, man. I'm blessed to have the job that I'm at. And like I said, I've had all these jobs within the 2 square miles of that's where my career has been for all my life, within 2 square miles of the three companies that I ever worked for. It's been that way. It's crazy, right? Right. I've always worked in that one general area. I think it's just by circumstance, but, yeah. But it's crazy around here with the jobs, the tech jobs and stuff like that. People are so not career or not like longevity oriented anymore. So it used to be like when my dad and mom were working, they worked for one company all their fucking life. My mom worked for Teledyne Semiconductors all her life. She started there when she, you know, when she had me in the 60s, she went to work. And from the time until she retired, she worked for one company. My dad was the same way. And we got kids that are coming in out of my job or out of my company that they'll stay for about 5 years and then gone. And
yeah, if that, man, there's no point in staying at a job for, you know, 60 years anymore because you're not going to get any benefit out of it.
Yeah, there's no,
you
get more benefit.
Well, there's not just that. You get more benefit out of jumping around because now you have more skills on your resume, and now you can increase your value as you jump around. Like, that's one of the things that my generation has learned. It's like, okay, these companies don't have loyalty to you, so fuck them. And let's just go out here, gain all these skills and experience because this college education is dog shit. And what these companies really want is experience. So let's go gain this experience. Let me go work over here for 6 months or a year. Let me go work over here for a year or two. Let me go work over here for a couple of years. Next thing you know, you're in a situation like I am where, like, I can just walk on to fucking half a dozen jobs and have no fucking issue because I have skills in all different kinds of things and experience in all different kinds of things. And that's what a lot of these companies want. They're like I remember whenever I went and started working at Vitamin Shop, right? I went in there and they were like, okay, some of the responsibilities are, you know, cash handling with a cash register, customer service, sales, stocking shelves, and then, like, you know, we'll get shipments in and stuff, and you have to check the shipment and deal with that a little bit and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, well, that's great because I've worked in warehouses before, I've done fast food jobs before, I've done sales jobs before, and I've done management jobs before because it was a manager position. So I came in and I checked all the boxes with all my previous jobs, you know, and so they're like, okay, you're hired. Like, that's how easy it was because I had all those jobs. But whenever I had just got out of the Army, and all I had was my Army skills, which they lie to you when you go in. They're like, oh, these skills transfer over. And it's like, no, they don't. Because when you come out and you tell somebody, hey, I've been in a management position for the last 3 years, they're like, oh, well, what company was it for? I'm like, the Army. They're like, no, like, did you have any real management experience? And I literally got told that. And luckily, that company's no longer in business anymore. It's called Family Video. They were kind of like a Blockbuster. And just, they were one of the people, whenever I got out, I was unemployed for 5 months when I got out of the Army in late 2008. I got out October 1st, 2008, which was the best time to not have a job. And I, when I got out, I was going around different places looking for a management. Like, and so, like, they were hiring an entry-level manager at a fucking video rental store, right? And I went in there for the interview and stuff like that. And the interview is in the middle of the goddamn floor. So there's customers walking around and picking stuff off, like movies off the shelf right next to my head and shit while I'm trying to have an interview. It was weird as fuck. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and she's like, oh, well, you know, this is an entry level job, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. And so I was telling her, you know, I'm like, yo, this is, you know, I got this management experience. She's like, oh, well, do you have any real management experience? I'm like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? Because I thought maybe she said retail. And she's like, no, do you have any real management experience? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I got up and walked away. Like, I didn't even say bye. I just got up and walked out. And I'm like, fuck this shit, right? Because that's the kind of shit that my generation had to deal with. Like, because I didn't have a fucking associate's or a bachelor's degree in business management or business admin, which is what a lot of these companies were looking for back then I was I had to have experience. Well, if you didn't have the right experience, then it was like no experience. And so you're just like, well, fuck me, right? And so you just bounce around from job to job to job to job to job. And then by the time you're fucking 37, now you've worked in 1,700 different industries. And so you could just walk anywhere. It's like, yeah, I've done car sales and fucking door-to-door sales with Schwann's. And I've done, you know, on the phone, you know, customer service and sales through this telemarketing company or the telecommunication company I was working at. And I've fucking done in-person consultative sales at Vitamin Shop. And I've fucking worked in like 7 different factories and a couple different warehouses. You know, I've done driving jobs. I've done fucking construction jobs. I've done all this kind of shit. So I can just, like, you know, like my last job that I had where I was a manager at a restaurant, right? Like the owner was like, do you have any experience? I was like,
Yeah, I've been a manager at like these different places, plus the military. I've done this different sales and customer service and stuff. And he like saw me on the register for like 5 minutes interacting with customers. He's like, okay, you're hired. Yeah. Like, done. Because I had the experience and I proved it in my job. And the fact that I can just talk nonstop, you know, and almost like Ken, but not quite as much.
That's true.
And, you know, so like that kind of shit, people were just like, okay, done, you're hired. Like, and I remember whenever I was working for Schwann's, I ended up getting poached by one of my customers and started working for them. I left Schwann's and started working for them because I would come in there once every 2 weeks. For those of you who don't know, Schwann's is like a frozen food truck, right? And they come around to the customers and stuff. Yeah, but some people may not know. I know you know because you're from Canada. But like,
I'm not from Canada. What the fuck?
No, but you're from the Midwest. It's really big in the Midwest. But yeah, and so I went in there every 2 weeks, and I would always sell them more food than what they actually wanted, and like they like wanted to buy more food from me all the time, and I was in there, and there was like a few different customers, but one of them was the president, and the other one was the vice president of the company. So I'd be selling to them all the time. I'd be talking with them, shooting the shit, interacting, and everything like that. And the president was like, have you ever sold like, you know, truck supplies and chrome and shit like that for semis? And I was like, I've never sold it, dude, but I can sell anything once I learn it. And he's like, do you want a job? He's like, I know you have a job, but you want a better job? I was like, yeah. And so then I had the job, like, done. Like, we had a formal interview, technicality, but that was mainly for me to meet the CFO, like, because I already knew that I already had a good interaction with the president and the vice president. And so the only person that was in the interview that I didn't already know was the CFO. And then we were just talking about the job. And, like, I walked in or whatever, and I was, like, all prepared to, like, you know, spout my resume off and all my skills and blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, all right, so here's what the job's going to be. This is what you'll be doing. That sound good? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, cool. So when can you start? And I'm like, well, let me give this job like, you know, a week or so and see what they want to say and blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up starting like within a couple of days.
Nice. Well, now that we know that Harco's can sell ice to Eskimos now, so he's very secure in that fact. And yeah, I just want to thank you guys for being here. We're running up on our time. I want to keep this down to an hour or so. We're just going to go ahead and do that. But yeah, man, thanks Harco's, man, for your input on every question that I've had. Like I said, it's been a spirited conversation as it always is. Thanks to Jason from Horrible Designs, and go and listen to Aaron's new podcast, the I Had to Say It podcast. His new episode's out. Pretty freaking interesting. Pretty entertaining. He's got some stuff that. He's actually, his new store is now at Horrible Designs, kind of giving
him a plug
there, and give Horrible Designs a plug there. In fact, I'm going to use Horrible Designs here when I get my store up and running, you know, to get my
everybody can use Horrible Designs.
Everybody should be using Horrible Designs, and everybody should be buying Horrible Designs. So we're going to put a little shade up here on my man Jason, but also Harco, you got to go out and listen to his podcast, Music Making Sense. I said a couple of spooky remarks on the private chat that we had yesterday. That I'll just leave it at that because they're private. And but he has a great podcast.
Yeah, though. I just dropped another short video today too. But yeah, I got a couple of the musician clients that I've been working with. I'm going to start. We're working on building them stores over on Horrible Designs subpages as well too. Going through Horrible Designs to build their merchandise too. So anybody who has an idea for merchandise line, whether it supports your business or whether it's an independent business by itself, you should definitely hit up Horrible Designs for that.
Right, and since Ken's not here, he gets last billing. So go out to.
Fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Bad Case Studios for all your artist needs. And then I'm going to let Jason step in here. He wants to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally. It's quick fucking talking to Argos.
Hey, I was trying to fill time. He said he had another 40 minutes left on his drive. So I'm just fucking telling my life story.
I'm wondering if I should do something off of what Aaron was talking about yesterday. Dan Crenshaw, the Cyclops.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. Maybe that Brokeback picture of him and what's his name? The other freaking fuck, what's his fucking name?
Is that Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro.
I thought it was Shapiro, but he had a cowboy hat on, so I'm like, well, I don't know if that's Shapiro because he didn't have a yarmulke. But apparently he had a yarmulke on underneath the cowboy hat or something.
Yeah, that's probably what he did. But yeah, thank you guys for being here. Like I said, we're here from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, doing my commute every day. And go out and catch yourself the weather report Sundays. It's on your podcast app, your favorite podcast app. All this stuff's on your favorite podcast app. We love to have you here, and I just want to thank you guys for being here again. You guys have a great day, and be good to yourselves. Talk to you guys later, man. Bye.
Bye.